Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. We're going to be getting back to our study through Hebrews. Probably in the next few months, we'll be finishing this up and exploring another book of the Bible. Last week, we looked at the susceptibility of being wearied and faint in your minds. You remember in verse 3, it was explained to us that we needed to consider Him, referring to our Lord and Savior, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And we looked at ways to remedy the situation in our lives where we are often faint and weary as we live for God, as we serve God. And we looked at a lot of different aspects of how we can have the solution to being wearied and faint in our minds. And the verse that we've been looking at this last week is a careful reminder of this. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Again, that parallels what we read here in verse 3, whether we are wearied and faint in our mind, and it says, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is an admonition, an encouragement for you and for me to live our lives for the Lord, because we know that no matter what the world says about what we do, no matter the circumstances and the situations that are very difficult and overwhelming that we face, if we persevere in what God has taught us and what God is teaching us, we will receive the rewards that God has promised to those that follow after His will. There are vast awards and rewards that God provides for His people. And these are some things that we need to hold fast in our hearts. This is an important lesson to learn, especially as we look at this morning some of the situations that we do face in our lives that we find in verses 4 through 11, from which we'll take our text. I do encourage you, if you have your message guide, you can use that. We're going to be looking at a lot of different verses, and so most of those verses are on your message guide. So if I say the verse, you're welcome to turn to those references as well. But I'm not going to wait for everybody to turn to that particular reference. So use these verses. Think about them. Think about what the Lord is teaching you through these verses. And when you go home today, you can fill it out by learning what those verses say even greater. Let's begin in verse 4, which is where we left off last week, through verse 11. Again, the writer of Hebrews says, after talking about looking to the Lord so that you are not weary and faint in your minds, then he says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. This is another reason why we shouldn't be weary and faint. It's because we haven't done everything that God has called us to do in this life if we're still here. And then he says this in verse 5, and ye have forgotten. What have we forgotten? You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Then he quotes a verse from Proverbs. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of our spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The situation that the Lord addresses here in these verses is found in verse 5. It is the chastening of the Lord. And you and I should not be weary and faint in the times of chastening that God brings into our lives. Why? Because of what we looked at last week. Because we have someone that we can focus on and focus to. But instead, we also need to continue to exercise the faith that God has given to us that we learned in Hebrews 11 so we can go through these times of chastening. Sometimes when we come to passages like this, we forget that there's a lot of context before and a lot of context after. These verses are being built upon the foundation of the faith that we've looked at in Hebrews 11. You and I will not be able to endure the chastening of God unless we have that faith. And we will not have that faith unless it continues to grow through the situations that we find in verses 1 through 3. As we focus our attention upon the Lord, going through the race that God has set before us, realizing that many times things and situations that we are going to go through in our race are chastisements of the Lord. So he says here we need to exercise our faith through them. We come to verse 4, which is a transition verse. We already said that it explains that you really have no reason to be weary and faint in your mind because you're not done yet. You haven't done everything that you are to do striving against sin. And that's a truth in my life, and I'm sure it's in your life. I don't know about you, but that verse I can take to heart. There are things in my life that I have not really fought against, sins and thoughts and problems, that I have not fought against the way God would want me to fight against them. There are sins and problems that we see in the world that we have not really exercised ourselves fighting against in the way God would have us fight for them. After all, we're still living. We haven't striven against them to blood. But not only does it explain that we really have no reason to be weary and faint in our minds, but it also introduces a reason why sometimes we are weary and faint in our minds. And it's because, as we see in verse 5, we have forgotten some things. We've forgotten some very important things about the Lord, and we've also forgotten some very important things about the situations that we face in our lives. Have you ever wondered why things happen the way they do to you? We all say this. Why did that have to happen to me? Why did this have to happen now in the situations in our life? We've all said these things. Have you ever asked the question, why was I made like this? Now, most of us are made healthy and strong, but then there are sometimes we have abnormalities and physical deformities, handicaps. Perhaps you have one of those issues and you wonder, God, why did you make me this way? Or sometimes we wish we had certain talents and abilities and we wonder, God, why did you make me not like someone else that had the smooth speech and had the great strength and had all these talents and gifts and abilities? Why is it that you made me this way? Perhaps you've asked this, why do I have this sickness? Why do I have this disease that is eating away my body and causing me to be weary and faint, even in my service for the Lord? Why, Lord, do I have this handicap? Why am I not able to do the things that I desire to do for you? Sometimes you might wonder, well, why do I go through these trials and circumstances and situations in my life? It doesn't matter what they are. It could be a person that God puts in your path. It could be a situation like a car breaking down. It could be bombs going off in your backyard, like some of the folks in the United Kingdom are experiencing this morning. Why are people so difficult, hard to get along with? These, we can go on and on with questions that we have in our minds that we're asking the Lord. We all wonder about these things. We all have in the past. We still do. Well, the Lord wants you to understand the answer to that question, and it is again found in verse 5. The answer to these things is that you are being chastened. You are being chastened. The Lord does not want you to grow weary and faint through His chastening. We're going to be looking at what this chastening is here in a moment, but I want you to realize that the questions that you have about your situation in life is answered by that word, God's chastening. When you find yourself in the middle of difficulties, circumstances that are overwhelming, trials, even temptations, there's going to be a few things that you need to not forget. The first thing that you must not forget is do not forget your Father's comfort in chastening. It says in verse 5, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. And then he quotes a proverb from Proverbs 3:11, which we're going to be looking at here in a moment. But I want to key in on that one word in verse 5 that says speaketh. That word speaketh is a very interesting word because it is not just saying that this exhortation that we're going to be reading here in verse 5 was given to the people back in the day of the Proverbs, the day of Solomon, the Old Testament saints. It wasn't a past tense speaking, but rather it is a present tense speaking. In other words, when God gave this book to you and to me and to this world, do you realize it wasn't just written for the people back then? It was written with you in mind today. This is something that we must always keep in our minds and in our hearts. God's Word from cover to cover is written for you and for me. It wasn't just for people at that time. And so when we come to this passage in Proverbs 3:11, that wasn't just written for them. It was written for you and for me. God's Word is for you. Whenever we come to situations in our lives that we deem as God's chastening hand upon us, we must always remember and not forget what God has given to us in order to help us through these times of trials and difficulties. It is His Word. It is His Word. That is all He gives us. And His Spirit, of course, to interpret His Word. He doesn't give us the self-help books that we're going to go and go to the Christian bookstore and find what issue you're having problems with and buy one of those books. He gives us His Word, which is inerrant, which is inspired, which is infallible, and it is sufficient for you and for me to go to find out, first of all, why God is bringing this chastisement upon us, and then how we can make it through this chastisement. He gives us this comfort and this strength to make it through. Sometimes when we go through these times of difficulty and trial and suffering, we forget that God's Word is there for us. God's Word is there for you to comfort you when you are hurting. Perhaps this morning you've come with burdens on your heart, a burden that you don't want to bear to anyone else, a burden that is so deep and so strong and so painful in your own life, and you wonder sometimes why this pain is there and why you can't get rid of this pain. You need to not forget that God has given to you His Word to comfort you during your times of pain. Are you going to God's Word? Are you availing yourself of the comfort that God provides through His Word? God's Word is there for you to challenge when you are content with your life. There might be some of you who feel like life is going just fine. You're doing your job, you're coming to church, you're doing all these other things that you think are good. You haven't experienced any trials or difficulties. Things are just going smoothly. The Lord says, sometimes when you're content, this is the time when you need to go to God's Word to be challenged. You know, God wants us to be challenged in our hearts and in our lives. God wants us to not remain on a plateau. He wants us to grow. He wants to become more like His Son. He wants us to increase. And so He says, if you are content here this morning, if you come thinking everything is fine and dandy in your life, He says, look to My Word because I'm going to give you some challenges that you can set your heart and mind upon so you can be more like Me. God's Word is there for you to mend you when you're broken. There might be someone here that has a broken heart this morning. Perhaps someone has left you. Perhaps someone has hurt you. Perhaps someone has passed away, as we talked about with Nathan. God's Word is there to mend you when you're broken. Do not forget your Father's comfort and chastening. This is what we need to use and avail ourselves of when we are struggling through these times of chastening. Do not forget your Father's comfort and chastening, and that is His Word. Now, the second thing that we're going to be looking at this morning is what we're going to look at most, and that is, don't forget your Father's work of chastening. I believe that in this verse 5, He says, don't forget the Word of God that is speaking to you, because this is how we make it through times of chastening. And then He describes what this chastening is. In verse 5, it continues. This is a quote from Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. The children of God will undergo what is called here the chastening of the Lord. The first time I've read these words, I wondered, what is the chastening work of God? And perhaps that is on your mind this morning. What does that word mean? What is the chastening of the Lord? I want to spend a little time looking at what that word means and what this chastening entails. So then, as we use the Word of God for comfort through this time of chastening, we also can see what God's purpose is for chastening. That word chasten is also translated in other parts of our versions, nurturing and instruction. It's not just what we think of when we think of correction. A lot of times when we hear this word chastening or chastisement, we think of, and then we have a picture in our mind of a parent with a paddle in hand, right? And we think God is going to be this God the Father who has this great big whip in His hand, and whenever His children are going to get out of the way, He's going to hit them with that whip to try to get them back. That word, chastisement, does not just entail correction in that way. It doesn't just entail punishment the way we think of it. This word, chasten, also means to nurture and to instruct. The literal word means to rear a child. Or, as one writer puts it, it's called son training. So if you insert that word son training or child rearing in place of that word chasten, wherever you see it, I think you'll get a better grasp of what this chastening means. Now, there are some other words in these verses that do talk about the rod. In fact, in verse 5, it talks about the rebuke of the Lord. And that word rebuke literally comes from the word that means rod. So yes, the Lord sometimes does have to correct us with a rod as a father would his child. But ultimately, the purpose that God has for bringing situations into our life, whatever they are, is so that you and I will be reared and trained as a child in the hands of a father. When you experience times of difficulty, trial, or suffering, it is part of the chastening of the Lord. I don't know what you're facing here this morning. Perhaps you are experiencing an issue or a trouble at work. Perhaps you are experiencing some pain in your body. Perhaps you are undergoing some turmoil at home. I don't know what your situations are, but these are all parts of that race that God has set before us that we saw in verse 1. God has set a particular path and race for every one of His children, and God knows exactly what we need, and God knows exactly how we will respond. And so what He does is He brings these situations into our life to chasten us, to nurture us, to make us more into His image, and to draw us closer to Him. This is a son training time for us. Now I remember when I was growing up, I always looked forward to when I could be 18 years of age, so I could sort of be free. So I went down to Bob Jones University where I could be free, of course. Well, I wasn't really free. They had all sorts of rules, probably more rules than my parents had in their house. But I looked forward to that age when I was 18. Do you realize that as a Christian, your childhood does not end at age 18? Your childhood does not end until you have graduated and passed on from this life into the next. So you and I, no matter how old you are or how young you are still in this process of chastening, where God is nurturing you and training you and rearing you into the kind of child He wants you to be. Isn't that encouraging? God's not through with you yet. And you ought not to be through with Him yet either. When you experience these times of difficulty, trial, and suffering, it is the chastening of the Lord. You are being trained by God as a father trains his son. How do we know what this chastening is about? There's at least three ways that He uses this chastening. You can see these on your message guide. Sometimes His chastening is for correction. This is that word rebuke in verse 5. He says that there are times when He is going to correct someone or a child for what they have done that displeases them. And we have all been children, and we know that we have done things that have displeased our parents. And there are times when we honestly deserve to be punished. I was listening to an old friend of mine I went to school with years ago, and he was describing his son, who is about the same age as our son. And his son was doing some things at school wrong, and when he came home, his dad asked him, "Well, what do you think you need?" He goes, "Well, I need to get a spanking." And his dad was shocked. Unbelievable that this son says, "I deserve a spanking." Because he knew that he'd done some things that were wrong. And so he said, "Well, why don't you go up to your room and we'll talk about this and we'll deal with this the way it ought to be dealt with." And so he goes up there and he said that his son was sitting there just as calmly as could be, waiting. And, that's very unlike him, very unlike our children too. He was waiting for this punishment. He said, "Daddy, I know I deserve this spanking because I did these things wrong." And he said that, "Okay, son, well," he thought, "this is a great gospel moment. This is a great opportunity for me to share with someone who's legitimately contrite over his sin something that God does for us when we're contrite and repent of our sin." And so he said, "Well, what about us? Do we deserve to be punished because of our sin?" "Absolutely." "Well, what did Jesus do?" "Well, Jesus took our punishment for us." He goes, "Well, you know what, son? I'm going to take your punishment for you." And so I wouldn't ever do this. But he handed the paddle to his son and said, "I'm going to take your whippings." He said, "Son, hit me as hard as you can, 4 spankings," and he did it. And he said, "That was the hardest spanking he ever felt." Well, it turns out, his son told his mom later on, and he was actually listening to this, but his son said, "You know what, Mom? I knew that if I said that, told Dad that I felt bad for what I did, that I wouldn't get a spanking." He knew all about what was going to happen. But we know that when we do things wrong, we deserve it, don't we? We deserve it. There are times that we do deserve these things. And there, a Christian child is no different. In 1 Corinthians 11, you can turn there, but listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 through 30, Paul says this, and it's in the context of talking about people that participate in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And he says this, "For he that eateth and drinketh the Lord's Supper unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Basically, he's saying that's bad. But what happens? He says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He's saying there are times when a child of God does not do things in a worthy manner for their Lord. There are times when we sin and displease our Father. And there are those times when God's chastening, that guidance, is going to be with a rod for rebuke to correct us. But also sometimes His chastening is for prevention. Not just to correct from what something has been done, but also a prevention of something that will happen. Now this is something that is really not an example for parents. Parents ought to correct their children. God gives a great example for that. But prevention, you know, where you spank the child in the morning and say, that's for anything bad that you're going to do today. You know, I've not done that, but sometimes I felt like I wanted to. But that's not an example. Why? Because God is different. God has a knowledge of what you and I are going to do. He knows us. He is sovereign in His knowledge. He knows everything about us. He knows the race that He has laid out before us. He, in His providence, is guiding us, and He's trying to prod us like with a cattle prod to get us back on that path. And He does so so that we can be more like Him and carry on this path. So what does He do? Sometimes He chastens to prevent us from doing what is in our nature to do. Sometimes He wants to prevent us from being proud or prevent us from stumbling in this area. Paul, we read this morning, he had all sorts of visions that God had blessed him with. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 7, he says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation," he says, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." Why? "Lest I should be exalted above measure." There's a lot in that verse, but I really want to focus on how his chastening of Paul in this situation was to prevent him from pride, which was a natural inclination in Paul's heart, was to be proud, especially with writing all these words of Scripture for us. And sometimes our chastening is to prevent us from doing what is our natural inclination to do in sin. But also, sometimes his chastening is for refinement. Refinement. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Do you realize that part of the chastening process of God is so that you can become a stronger Christian? Your faith becomes stronger. Your patience becomes stronger. Your hope becomes stronger. And if you and I don't have these challenges to face us, we will not grow stronger in the Lord. Just like a pole vaulter. A pole vaulter is going to start out having that rung fairly low so he knows that he can get over. Now, if we in our Christian walks had that pole in the same place our whole lives, we will never grow in our walk in relationship with Him. We will never be refined in our faith and in His grace. But sometimes as we grow, God will set the pole higher for us so that we will have more of a challenge to go over that. And who are we going to seek? When we experience those challenges, we're going to go to the Lord. How do you know what God is doing through His chastening? Now, this is a personal question that you need to consider in whatever situation you're facing this morning. Is God chastening me to correct me, to prevent me from sin, or just to refine me? Now, this is not something that we ought to assume. We should not assume, well, you know what? God just wants to refine my faith. He wants me to become a stronger person in faith. Well, that's true. But I believe that when we consider the chastisement of God, we need to do a search in our own heart and our own life. And we have some biblical examples of this that we're going to be looking at here. We need to find out what God's reason is for whatever chastising situation He has placed in us and in our lives. Remember Job? Job went through a great time and a terrible time. of tragedy and trial. And you know what he said in Job 10 verses 1 and 2? He said to Lord, my soul is weary of my life. You ever felt that way? And 2 weeks ago, I remember this, I was sick and it wasn't any major illness or anything, but I felt just as sick as a dog. And I had some chills and I couldn't get it to stop. And I remember saying, I don't know if I said it in my head or out loud, but I just said, oh, I just want to die. Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, whatever the case may be, sometimes we feel that way. Job felt that way. He says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. And then he says this, I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. In other words, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why? Show me. Is there anything that I've done that displeases you? If so, show me and I'll correct it. Are you doing this to prevent me from doing something that is wrong? Show me so I'll know. Are you just trying to refine me so that I can be a greater witness for you? Show me, Lord. This ought to be our prayer when we come to the chastening hand of the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, again, that context of the Lord's Supper, he says, let a man examine himself. When you come to a roadblock in your life, what must you do? You need to not look beyond the roadblock and see how I can get past this roadblock. Start looking at why the roadblock's there. Because God placed it there. You think what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 12, he was talking about that something was given to him, a thorn in the flesh that was given to him. Who gave it to him? God. But then how does he describe it? A messenger of Satan to buffet. Is God in control of what the devil and the world and our flesh does? Absolutely. And sometimes he will bring enemies into our path. Why? To chastise us, either to correct us, to prevent us from sin, to refine us, so that we can stay on the path and the race that he has set before us. Yes, evil people can do bad things to us. 9/11 is a great case in point. But did God have that under his control and authority? Absolutely. And what was his purpose for that? Perhaps his purpose was for you and for me to examine ourselves and wonder, what am I doing that is displeasing to the Lord? What are some other reasons or ways to assess ourselves? Paul even said, for this thing, that thorn in the flesh, I sought the Lord Christ. I sought the Lord Christ that it might depart from me. And the Lord ended up showing him, you know, it's not because of sin, but rather it's to prevent you from sin. These are some of the reasons why God brings chastisement upon us. And the Bible says here in verse 5, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Why? Because it's going to make you the kind of Christian that he wants you to be. But he also says, on the other hand, don't despair in it. Sometimes we feel like we're just in over our heads. Lord, I don't know where to go, where to turn. You know what? He just showed you where to go and where to turn. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. And don't faint in his chastening either. Because even though there are times of difficulty and trial and suffering, remember that it is God's work of chastening, instructing you, nurturing you, training you as a child. Remember this. Remember the work of the Lord is chastening. Number 3, what else must we not forget? Don't forget your father's meaning of chastening. We see these in verses 6 through 8. We spent the bulk of our time looking at what that word chastening means. But now what does it mean to us who are chastened? In verse 6 it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards or illegitimate and not sons. There's 3 things that God's chastisement means. The first thing is it means that God loves you. I remember correcting my son not too long ago. And I said, Braden, you know, I do this. I'm trying to explain why I'm correcting him. I said, Braden, I'm doing this because I love you. And he goes, no, you don't. If you loved me, you wouldn't spank me. How do I put this? How do I explain this to a 6-year-old that I really do love? Well, Sometimes we wonder the same thing, don't we? God, why are you doing this to me? Why do I have cancer? Why did this person die in my life? Why did you cause the situation to erupt at work? Why? Why? You don't love me. You really love me? When God chastens, the Bible teaches that it means He loves you. He knows what's best for you. And isn't that what love is? Not just wanting you to be happy, it's wanting what's best for you. He knows our tendency, and sometimes this love takes a rod of correction to prod us to do the right thing. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Not just children that we raise, but in our hearts as Christian children. Foolishness is bound in our hearts, but the rod of correction that the Lord often uses will drive it far from Him. What is your focus through chastening? Do you really think about the love of God? You need to start thinking, when you're going through times of chastening and times of difficulty, focus on the love of God. Look at some of the powerful references to God's love. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of God? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. All these are demonstrations of His love. And when you are chastened by the hand of God, whether it's correction, prevention, or refinement, God is doing so out of love for you so that the best might come from you in those circumstances. But the second thing that it means is that when God chastens, it means that you are His Father, or that He is your Father. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's your Father. There's a relationship there that was never there to begin with. Yes, He was your Creator, but now you can call unto Him as Abba, Father. After all, as a Father, He has a vested interest in you. He has a vested interest in you and in me to grow, to be more like His Son. Now, if you go to work and you have a 401k or some other IRA or something like that, sometimes when a company matches money, you have to work a certain period of time before you're fully vested in that account. When you started a job, you might be 20% vested. That means anything that if they give you 100 bucks in your account, you only get 20 of that if you left work. God is 100% vested in your interest, in your sin. God is your Father. And when you're going through trials and difficulties, realizing that it is the chastening of the Lord upon you to bring you more into His image, you know what you and I need to remember? We need to remember that He is our Father through it all. But also, that leads me to the next thing, is that when God chastens, it means that you're His child. You're His child. Now, the Bible says here that God will chasten all His children. It says in verse 6 that He does it to every son. And then in verse 8 it says, whereof all are partakers. If you and I do not experience the chastening hand of the Lord, we have no proof or evidence that we're His children. So, as Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Why? Not only that the power of God might rest upon him, but because that is an evidence that He is my Father and I'm His child. And He's raising me in the kind of relationship that He wants. During times of chastening, do not forget that your Father has a meaning for you. He wants to show you His love and His relationship to you. Thinking of these things will help us endure, as it says in verse 7. The fourth thing that we need to not forget is don't forget your Father's purpose for chastening. The Lord has a purpose for the race that He has set before you. He has a purpose for His chastening as well. I love this verse in Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That is a tremendous verse for believers, especially ones who feel like they are under the chastening hand of God, and they feel like they are overwhelmed and they can't get through this. The Lord says, I know my thoughts toward you. We don't know God's thoughts. They are high above us. We know what He says. He reveals some of His thoughts to us, but we don't know all the purposes of God, why some of the reasons He has for us to go through this path that He has set before us. But the Lord knows His thoughts, and He says this, my thoughts are not evil toward you, but peace, so that you can have an expected end. And this is what I believe He teaches us in verses 9 through 11. This is His expected end. It is for you to grow. In verse 9, it's talking about life. This is His expected end for you. Real, abundant, Christ-like life. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Here we have in verse 9, 10, and 11, three contrasts, which are to give us a picture of the purpose of why God brings situations of chastening in our lives. The first contrast is this. On the one hand, we often would respond properly to our earthly father's correction and instruction. I know there were times when my dad would correct me that I would respond to it. I would obey. He says, take out the trash. If I didn't do it, I'd get spanking. You know what I'd do right after I got the spanking? I'd take out the trash. Clean your room, make your bed. If I didn't do it, I'd get corrected. After I got corrected, I'd clean my room and make my bed. I ended up doing the things that he wanted me to do. The Bible says that's a natural thing. But then he says, on the other hand, shouldn't you and I respond properly to our Heavenly Father's instruction and correction? Shouldn't you and I be subject to what the Lord is teaching us through these times of chastening and direction? The purpose that he has in mind is life. He is the Father of spirits, and when we are subject to him, we will have real life. Life the way it's meant to be. Life that is abundant, life that is ultimately eternal, life that the world will never know. Sometimes when we come here, we see people on carrying boats and on Sundays, and we know they're going out to the docks, and they're going to go boating, they're going to go fishing and do this, that, and the other on the weekend. We think, boy, sometimes in our own hearts, our own jealous, fallen hearts, we think, boy, that'd be fun, I'd like to do that. Do you realize that that's not real life? That's not abundant life. That's a restful, relaxing life. But you know what's going to happen if their life is not right with God? This life is all they've got to enjoy. When it ends, their enjoyment of it's going to end as well. We are preparing not for this life, but for the next. And the more we learn about Christ in this life, the more we will rejoice in what he's done for us in the next life. We need to realize his purpose is life. He doesn't want us to withhold real life from us. He gives it to us freely. But what else is his expected end? Holiness in verse 10. He says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, another contrast. On the one hand, our earthly father's instruction and correction was sometimes ruled by his own passion. Men are fallen creatures. I'm a fallen creature. Dads, we all know. Parents, we all know. We've chastened and corrected our children from the wrong motives and in the wrong way at times. And we know this. But God never does. Do you question why God has placed a situation in your path or a problem in your path? Do not question that, because why? God knows your frame. He knows what is best for you. It says here, on the other hand, our Heavenly Father's instruction and correction is always, always, always done for our profit. With this end in mind, that we might be partakers of His holiness. God has called us into these situations so that we can be holy, for He is holy. I don't know any Christian that doesn't want to desire. Any true Christian doesn't want to desire holiness for their life. If you can live your life without achieving or looking to God's holiness, you've got to wonder, am I truly a believer? Do I truly have the Spirit of God within me? Because if you are a child of God, you are going to want to aspire to His holiness. And God says, this is how you do it. I am going to bring chastening into your life, whether it's for correction, prevention, refinement, so that you can be holy, for I am holy. Hasn't He commanded us to be holy many times in Scripture? I remember when I was a child and I read those verses, I said, God, how? How can I be holy? God helps us to be holy. He doesn't leave it in ourselves. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give it to you and say, you have to work it out yourself. Be holy. Figure it out yourself. He says, no, I am going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to give you my Word. And then I'm going to give you a situation in your life to prod you and to make you more like me. I'm going to put you through the refiner's fire so you can be holy like me. And the third expected end is that of righteousness in verse 11. He says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. On the one hand, God's instruction and correction seems hard and painful sometimes. But on the other hand, it actually yields peace in the heart. Why? Because the purpose that he has in mind is righteousness. As you do right, what happens to your heart? You have peace. When you don't do right, what happens to your heart? You're convicted. We need to do righteous and be righteous to have that peace. Perhaps this morning you are undergoing the chastening of the Lord. If not, you need to ask yourself these questions. Why am I not undergoing the chastening hand of the Lord? Do you understand what it is? Perhaps you don't know what the chastening of the Lord is. Hopefully this is described as a nurturing process. There might be some things in your life where he's not just coming down and beating you with a rod, but rather he is putting some conviction in your heart even this morning through his Spirit. Perhaps there's a challenge at home that you're facing. The Lord says, this is my chastening hand, and I am going to use it for your profit. You need to understand what it means. When you are chastened, it means that God loves you. He's your father and you're his child. And if that's the case, you need to desire it, even. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He gloried in it. He desired it. I don't know how many of the great men and women of God that we looked at in Hebrews 11 and throughout the history of the church, God has given chastening, difficult struggles. Why? So that the power of Christ may rest upon them. Perhaps you are undergoing the chastening of the Lord. How are you responding? Are you despising it? It says here in verse 5, despise not the chastening of the Lord. How do you know if you're despising it? Are you grumbling through it? You're murmuring and complaining like the children of Israel? Griping? Why did God make me do this? Why did God put this me in this situation? Or are you despairing in it? This is the opposite extreme. Are you resigning to it? As Charles Hodge put in the commentary on the back of our card, some people just say, well, okay. And they take this fatalistic attitude instead of doing what God is trying to get them to do, and that's to search why. Why, God? Show me why so I can be corrected. I can be prevented. I can be refined to be more like you. Remember these purposes that we've looked at. All these things, all the chastening of the Lord ought to bring you to God and His Word. Search out His purpose and then respond when He reveals to you what that purpose is. The chastening of the Lord is something that sometimes we don't desire, but the Lord has a purpose for it. How are you going to respond? Let's close in prayer.